episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
And good evening. You're listening to the Rick and Roro Show, episode number 47 on the 20th of September, 2025. And here are the hosts, Rick and Roro. Thank you very much. What a funny little man you are. Hey, Rollo, are you in the room?
Nostalgia. Rick and Rollo, Nostalgia. Well, I'd like to start off by saying...
Acknowledging
the birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ricky. Happy birthday to you. Now, the only reason I know this is because of your number one fan who who said happy birthday in the Rick and Roll or the Rollo's balcony. And I think you really got a fan there. That's so sweet.
If you make someone laugh,
yep.
That's what they always want to listen. I mean, that's what the whole idea is. You make someone laugh. And she sent another thing. I just got an email from apparently that, she's collected something that made her laugh from the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable episode number. Must have been the one when Jolo had just started his original site. Not the one that it is now. Okay. I don't think it's Truth Meets. It's called something else. I forget what it was called.
But she recorded something else.
She's cleaned it up and she sent me a copy of it. She sent it to Jolo as well, so he might play it later. I'm not sure.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Well, that one she did last time with Klaus Schwab and his vegan adrenochrome was absolute classic. And
I
couldn't believe she must be in audio production or something.
No, if that's her first one,
it's so good.
She's very good.
I'd say she's in audio production somewhere industry or something.
If Joel claps and says it's fantastic audio, then it's fantastic audio. You know what I mean? He knows how much work went into it. So he was laughing.
And he's right. And all the AI images that she produced to go with it. I mean, that takes a lot of work to do. So well done, Susie.
Well done,
Rick, for making it to 70.
5 years.
How old are you now? 75.
My daughter has spoilt me. Like Father's Day, I got so much stuff. And I know that she's the one that's paying for most of it. because she's earning a bit of money now. But my God, and then it was her birthday last. You know, we went to Melbourne, so Melbourne. We'll talk about Melbourne afterwards, not now. And I got her a few things, but I said, look, I'm going to get you stuff for your van, useful stuff. You know, I don't like buying, spending stuff, so I'm going to get her some engine treatment and some stuff that, you know, that's not that cheap, but I'm a real boring person, but it's needed. It's something she needs. Her van, she should not have bought, too old, but she loves it. It's a beautiful old camper van. It's the same, mate. So this year, today, or tomorrow, I've been here for 40 years in Australia.
Wow. Continuously.
Yep. I arrived.
So you, being 75, you're more Australian than New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Just slightly.
I am. 75 years of age. Who'd have thought?
You're
75 years of age.
We're joking. You're a tick over 60, so that's okay. Yep. I'm 55, so will I make it to 60? Who knows? So, you just blew my ears out. Let me ask, you know, was the Comic-Con on down in Melbourne or it wasn't on?
No. It's today and tomorrow in Sydney, but my son decided not to go yesterday. He said, Dad, I'll come back with you. And I went, really? And I just don't think he wanted to come back on the Feral Express on Monday. But, you know, he wanted, because I was driving back last night and he just decided that he wouldn't do it. But it's a shame.
What's the Feral Express? The XBT?
XBT, yeah.
I've never heard of the Feral Express before.
Well, you do from me. I'll just say that. But anyway, yeah. She's turned up again today and she had more presents for me. She brought me a whole lot of pig. I offhandedly had spotted. Have you heard of, do you know what a pig face is? I know not, the flower. It's a little very brightly coloured flower that shuts during the night and opens up during the day. But anyway, I mentioned that. She's come around with a whole lot of that, of pig's face flowers, and she brought me a pair of shoes. She heard me mention about me losing my shoes that she'd bought me, and she's bought me another pair of these expensive shoes. It's unbelievable, this girl.
You get really cool presents.
Well, I do now that she's earning money. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm very happy with. She's a great girl. What a great girl she is. But anyway,
what's your son buy you? Did you get anything from the boys?
Did I? I think they would have contributed to the presents, I think, with some cash, I'd say.
All right. Going down to Melbourne. So the Melbourne trip was good? Like, come on.
It was
tell
fantastic.
Us a little bit about it.
We flew down last Saturday at about 10 in the morning. Fantastic flight. The pilot wasn't vaccinated, obviously.
Good. A nice soft landing with the chemtrails up there
I didn't look out. When I came back from New Zealand, I could see them below me. I would just say that. Mm. But interesting. Anyway, I did a Be Told show on, I think, Wednesday. And I brought up the fact, can you believe this? I've been on about the statues in Melbourne. There's some really strange statues there that I consider inappropriate. And as you're walking as you walk out of Tullamarine Airport, there's this huge big statue, and it looked like the same kind of statue as that the supposed goddess of luck that's actually Lucifer on one of the streets around Victoria Street. They've got a huge statue, and guess who it is? It's of Icarus, I call it Icarus. You know, the guy that flew too close to the sun and he comes crashing down and dies on the ground. Why would you stick a statue of Icarus in an airport? Because, you know, the guy, he flies up in the air and the sun melts his wings and he crashes and dies.
That's a bit dark, isn't it?
Don't you think? And why, Melbourne slaps you in the face with their statues, I'm telling you. There's a there. But why does no one else query this? I'm the only one I've ever heard say, even Frank, has Frank noticed the statue of Icarus outside the airport? He just said, we're living in, I mentioned it to him, he said, we're living in the dark days. He said, get used to it. So I thought, that's fair enough. Get used to it.
Tullamarine's the one closest to Frank, because Avalon's the other one, isn't it? The
I've got no idea how close Frank is. He's in Geelong and Tullamarine is.
It's not far away. It's a very short drive. It couldn't be much more than half an hour, yeah.
Okay, well, the airport.
Really good.
Yeah. The airport is the Tullamarine. We got an Uber, and I've learned, I'm telling you, Uber, far out, man.
Oh, yeah.
All the kids, all the young people use it. The old fuddy duddies like myself that don't know about how to use it.
You press the button, they pay you twice as much.
I'd say so. It was $40 from the airport to our hotel, which we stayed in this hotel in really flash area. You know how I can tell it was a flash area? A Rolex shop, a Gucci shops. It was an older hotel renovated, but it was really nice. And we went out and we surprised my son. Allegedly, I think his girlfriend may have spilled the beans beforehand, but we met at this really cool burger restaurant that's called, what was it called? Like a real weird name, like Lionel's Epic Burgers or something or other. And it's full of all the chicks that worked in there, all goth, which I find them quite good looking, actually. Takes a year to put their makeup on every day, though. I don't know if I'd put up with that one. But it was really nice. And the next day on Sunday, we went out and my son and I went and checked out the record shops on Sydney Road in Brunswick. And what a cool area. Oh, I'm a big Melbourne fan now. Big Melbourne fan. Way more interesting than
Sydney. Awesome.
When it is.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely. Yeah. Mm. Did you have a walk along the Yarra, you know, where all the all the restaurants are?
We did that last time. Where we stayed, and we got Ubers everywhere, and it was fantastic. Had a few drinks, and that was, you know, but not too many. And that was it. But it was a great trip. We were back on Monday, and I drove home that night, and then I had to come back again. When did I come back again? On Thursday morning, and then came back again last night. A lot of driving. Anyway, Rollo, how's your week been? Enough of me.
I've got a story to tell.
Digital penetration.
I just went to my it's got to do with that. I went to my Samaritans, you know, Circle Jerk. Yeah. And then I got a thing on my phone again from Community Corrections about some sort of survey, and it pissed me off because I asked them last time. Every time I get a message from them, you know what? I'm an emotional guy and it just upsets me. So I rang them straight away. She's a community corrections officer. She is. She's got a badge. She hasn't got a gun, she says. But I said, look, I told you before. And then I got all shirty, the slightly aggressive bear on her. And she goes, well, I've noticed you've missed you've missed a few of your, and I go, I've missed one. I've got everything written down. I've got signatures from my caseworkers. Every time I went, I said, do you know where I live now? And I said, I live 10 minutes from where you are. I'm coming down there now and to show you. And she goes, immediately changes tone, says, no, don't come down here. No. Yeah, I believe you. It's like, really? Yeah. Really? The change of tone was like, it was so authoritarian. And then I said, look, where I live, I can walk there and I can be where you are in 10 minutes and I'm going to come there and show you.
Reeking of vodka?
No, I'd just been to my meeting. I just got back.
Oh, okay.
That's really annoying.
So they look, to be honest, they really just.
She said you'll never get another one again. But she gave me her absolute assurance. She said, you will never receive, I will go out of my way to make sure you never get one of them again. And I went, that's all I asked. Like, there you go. Yeah. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, Rick. Yeah, I guess the grease.
How long have you got to go doing this community?
Another fucking year and a half.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's I've done murder or something.
I think you get more for less for murder these days.
That's the old. So there we go. My little emotional thing. But then, you know, I just took the dog for a walk and then went down, got a bottle of vodka and a packet of those cheap smokes. Had a couple of them and then came back chilled and I didn't think anything more of it. But
as you say,
New mic you got there? Your mic sounded different just all of a sudden.
No, is it bad? Is it because I can put?
No. It just went super clear all of a sudden.
Oh, really? So you're saying it's not good at the moment then?
No, it's fine.
Well, you're saying it
went
better.
I know, but it just got super tinny. It's clear is not the right word. Tinny.
Okay, like, well, just keep an eye on that. Let me know. So I sound good at the moment.
You sound like you're in the same room as me, mate.
Fantastic. So apart from that,
I had a great week. Did you notice? Because what we were talking about last week, which was a fantastic conversation, we were talking about Charles and your mate Charlie, who looks after Charles. Well, during the week, we've had something quite new. Danny, not Charlie. Charlie's on Dexter. Danny. The first American president to get a state visit to Buckingham Palace.
I think it was the second one, wasn't it?
No, well, from what I was seeing on the news, it was the first one, and it looked great too. Donnie got to ride with Chuck in the super duper.
Oh, you know, this is big. This is a big thing. Pomp and pageantry. Yeah. Did you hear the menu that they ate? You know, it was this fucking incredible food. I heard someone, you know, and Don was there, and he was. Shook 150 people's hands to get in the place. It's number six. It's number six.
He was shown such courtesy.
He said, "Don," and Donald was fantastic to stand next to you, and it's wonderful how wonderful it is to be on stage with you, Donald. Yeah, and he was like shaking his, you know, he had a big smug smile on Donald.
If we had Belted here, we could get him to play the speech. The speech he made at the table. It is a classic speech, and it made Chuck laugh. And Chuck doesn't laugh. Rick and Roller, 47.
You're listening to
No Matter What Your Age.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or Your Affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
This is King Charles speaking, and you're listening to my favorite radio show that one always listens to on one's wireless radio, the Rick and Rollo show from all the way from Australia.
Actually, Charles sounds a bit too much like our normal voiceover guy. Maybe it is Prince Charles or King Charles doing the voiceovers. You're listening to Rick and Rollo.
Hold on.
Yes.
Rick, I think we've got King Charles on the line. Your Honor, are you there? Your Majesty, not Your Honor. Yeah.
One is pleased to be here, Rollo.
Must be a delay from England. So let me ask you to start with Donald Trump. What did you talk about in your carriage ride from the airport to Buckingham Palace? What did you discuss? Is that secret?
No. One had spoke to Donald about Dexter, my favorite TV show, Dexter. And one talked about
it. It is a great show. Thank you. No, Chuck, that just makes me so happy. Let me ask you about your one of your favorite. Do you remember your one of your favorite bodyguards? His name's Danny. Was he there looking out for you?
One remembers him fondly, Rolo. One remembers him fondly, and he's a wonderful man. And I do believe your wonderful friend, Rick, knows Danny, and he's wonderful too. He read my letter out. One was very happy to hear that, Rolo. My mother, the Queen, used to listen to the Fart podcast back in the day. One was seen her chuckling away listening to the Fart podcast back in the few years ago now, Rolo.
Well, King Charles, I'm honored that Betty the Yeti, I'm sorry if I can say that or not. It's just, that's a term of endearment here in Australia. But yes, Elizabeth R., we are honored that she listened to our show. Okay, I won't hold you up any longer. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll just go back to stroking the pussy. Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Thank you, mate. Bye.
Thank you. That was good.
There you go. An exclusive interview with King Charles. Oh, man. Do you remember Molly Meldrum trying to interview Prince Charles?
Oh, my God. And he was sitting there.
He just sounded, he goes, your mum listened to, your mum did this.
And he goes, you mean the Queen? He goes, you mean the Queen, dude?
I know.
He called your mum.
Just hopeless.
He was absolutely embarrassing and cringeworthy.
It was funny. Yeah, it was. What the hell is Prince Charles? What's he trying to relate to the children or something at the time on Countdown in 1985 or something?
That would have been early 80s. You're right, I think. Early 80s. Yeah. He was definitely there sitting on Countdown being interviewed by Molly Meldrum. It's like, what the fuck?
I know. It doesn't make any sense, does it, these days? That he was on Countdown of all programs.
Well, if he turns up on the Rick and Rollo show, he's not fuzzy, obviously. I'm glad to hear the Queen was a regular listener of the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable, because no surprise, little surprise. Anyway, Rollo, so we're talking about Roger Clemson, one of our top newsreaders.
Roger just almost missed out on getting a letter from the Queen because he was married to his wife for well over 70 years, I heard on that news report. Let's talk about him. He was a news guy for 7 and 9 through the 70s. And he also did Australia's Most Wanted. And then he also did This Is Your Life. Remember that? And yeah.
But don't you think he looked like an old Roger Moore? Like, you know, he had that very distinguished.
Looked like him and sounded like him. Yes.
Looked and sounded like Roger Moore, yeah. And the fact his name is Roger. That's a bit weird, don't you think? Am I the only one who's spotted that?
Mm. Could be one of those, what's those fakeologist subjects where you.
Roger Clemson was Roger Moore. Roger Clemson was Roger Moore.
A stepping fakeologist.
Hey, I thought it was hilarious. Did you see. Apparently, a fakeologist was doing a thing on the Charlie Kirk thing, and serial troll John Le Bon, who cuts and copies most of the great bits of certainly got a few of me, and I'm sure he's a lot of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got kicked. Ab kicked him off, and because he wanted to go on, he couldn't comment on the fakeologist thing, and Ab had kicked him off. There you go. So well done, Ab, for
you did a Be Told 38 last week with Silas. I spoke to him. He's that really nice guy from Edinburgh, right?
That's right.
Yeah, what a great after your Be Told last week, we had a long chat with him, and easygoing guy.
The guy's barely 30, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe, and he just like I was. He came on. I think I'd done about 35, 40 minutes, maybe, he came on and we did two hours something or other. And I just sound because he baffled me so much. He said so many things. I was just like,
I'm old.
I sounded like Dale, you know, in the background, like, oh, that's really good, John. That's really good.
You can't say that. You can't say that. Yes, you can. Remember Norman? Norman was the guy I was struggling to think of. Would always have a go at Lawsy about.
Did you listen?
You just used Dale. You're just a user. You're a user.
And he did. He was this, you know, to make people think, oh, John's a nice guy. He talks to, as you call them, retards. Down syndrome victim.
Hello, John. Just because
you got Down syndrome doesn't mean you're a retard. There are perfectly high IQ people that are retards. and John Laws is one of them occasionally. Oh, man, some of the crap. I tell you, Kyle is a retard. I'll tell you, one of the stupidest. He was interviewing a 15-year-old girl that had been raped, Kyle and Jackie.
Yeah, right? We talk about this.
And then he asked her, is this your first sexually? It's not a sexual experience, Kyle. It's violent.
Why would you talk to it? Look, this is my opinion of FM breakfast hosts and afternoon hosts. They're fucking useless. You should listen to what's going on now. When you're driving along and you're switching, and I'm flicking around stations just to see what's on, and you're hearing these afternoon shows, and they've got some has-been fuckwit from whenever, some bimbo off Australia's most off pop idol, or Australia's, you know, one of like, or maybe they were a star that was on Big Brother, and they're now your morning hosts and your afternoon hosts. And they are so unfunny. It's just, look, I'm telling you, me and you would blow FM radio out of the water if we did an afternoon show. We'd be kicked off air by about 30 seconds.
Yeah, probably. But I remember when I was down in Melbourne. Now, on one of the channels, remember Kate Ritchie off Home and Away? She joined these two blokes who were really they only got her on to get ratings,
exactly,
because she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know when to shut up, when to talk, or when to, and I was just there going, oh, this is painful.
I'll tell you what, it's like radio endoscope and ectoscope at the same time. You're listening to something. As you're trying to listen to it, you get something ramming something up in your mouth and something going, a camera's going in your bum at the same time. You cannot concentrate. It's just shit. And honestly, there is nothing good on radio at the moment that I've listened to except for community stations. And I'll keep shouting out that terrific 96.3 or whatever, or 93.6.
On the Central Coast.
Their hosts are fantastic.
Well, they're good to you, aren't they? They take requests,
they shout me out, and they know that old Rick will be listening, and they mention it. Now, that is what I call a good radio station.
It's fantastic. Professionalism. That's why we shout out our fan.
Our one fan. Susie, we've got
Susie.
Do you remember
that Rosie, TV show, your Flying to the Com? Yeah, Rosie, yeah.
That's three people listen.
You remember that New Zealand TV show called Flight of the Conchords?
Mm-hmm.
Their band with those two guys had one fan. That was the joke. That's what made it so funny, that one chick. Yeah, it was classy.
And she was a psycho, though. It wasn't she. She was completely mad.
Yeah, but that's the whole fun thing. We're not saying
Brett, I listened the other day. There was a terrific new song by Brett from Flight of the Conchords about having a conspiracy theorist father or a woke father. No, it's not a woke father. An aware father. It was quite good, though. He's actually a talent. He's not bad.
Should we go out with that?
No. I wouldn't even know what it was called. No, it's only just come out. It's Brett from his new album. I thought it was good. I was quietly impressed. Someone then informed me that he came from a very rich family, and that would not surprise me because both of them were in Wellington, Brett and Jermaine. It's probably an ex-politician or something or other, or a businessman.
Oh, his father, so funny. It's like the funniest shows I've ever seen.
And the other guy that played the conspiracy theorist nutcase on Hunt for the Wilder People, the Reese Darby? He's funny.
He's absolutely classic. No, I don't like the guy that directed or wrote it. He did Thor: Love and Thunder.
Taika Waititi.
Thor: Love and Thunder was total dog shit. Actually, because I got made a huge mistake. People keep saying that
Jews run Hollywood. You know, look at Taika Waititi. He's come out of nowhere and he's done all this amazing stuff.
I
found out his real surname's Cohen, and his mother is Taika Cohen by coincidence.
That sounds like one of my dad's jokes. Famous, he'd always put Steen on the end of. They'd be Robert Redford Steen.
we'll mention that. So Robert Redford now. He passed away this week at 89.
Yeah.
My favorite movie ever.
I was going to go through how many Robert Redford movies you could remember. I've got the whole list here in front of me.
I'll tell you the best ones.
Before you get started, I want to tell just a little funny aside. I was talking to someone during the week after, I think it was Christy, and I said, him in Tower Inferno. And then Christy goes,
No.
Robert Redford wasn't in Tower Inferno. That was Steve McQueen Paul Newman.
Yeah, no.
And I went, you're right, too. Robert Redford wasn't in the Tower Inferno. And
everyone else was
a little bit embarrassed.
anyone that was anyone in 1975 was in Towering Inferno. Yeah, had Bill Holden.
The ensemble cast.
OJ Simpson.
Oh yeah,
William Holden. Faye Dunaway.
Fred Astaire.
I don't think Ginger Rogers made it, but she may as well have been in it.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. We'll do that afterwards. But let's go through. How many Robert Redford films that you can get?
I'll just tell you the ones that I liked.
I've got the list in front of me.
Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid's my favourite.
I loved it. So you get a tick. There's one tick.
3 Days of the Condor with Faye Dunaway. When he plays a CIA. Good movie.
1975. Two ticks. Yep.
The one about Watergate, what's it called?
That's 1976, yeah. I'll give you a clue.
I'll give you the initials,
ATPM.
ATPM?
Is the title. The first letter of each word of the title.
All the President's Men. All the President's
Men. There we go. You get a tick for that. There you go. Keep going.
Yeah. I'll go back to the most recent ones. The baseball one.
The Natural. You definitely get a tick for that. That's 1984. Yes.
Yep. He played the most recent stuff I saw. He turned up in the Marvel movies as I think the Avengers movie. The last couple. Yeah. He's in that. Everyone's fucking in that. Those series of movies.
Avengers Endgame. He plays Alexander Pierce in 2019. So you get a ticket for that. I did not know that he was in. I would not have thought Robert Redford made Avengers Endgame. Fuck me. How about that?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Captain America, the Winter Soldier too.
Yep.
Sorry, I ruined that one. Same character. Yeah, you're right.
I've had to see all these movies. I keep going on about it, but I've had to go and see them all, and I know them all off by heart. The Sting with Paul Newman.
Robert Shaw. Sure that's... Now, Paul Newman, Sting, and Robert Schumann. The Sting. We're going way back here.
So basically, it's the same cast as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It's Paul Newman and Robert Redford. The Sting.
1973, played Johnny Hooker. So you get a tick for that. Yeah, The Sting.
Yeah. What other movies that I'm talking about, the ones that I know and I liked?
He plays a character called Jay Gatsby in what would that be?
Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I'll give you a tick for that.
The original Great Gatsby. Yep.
1974.
Oh, he's been a journeyman actor, though, and he founded the Sundance film.
That's festival. Right. I saw that. Yeah, that's him. So, yeah.
Yep, that's him.
So he gave a lot back to the craft.
Yeah,
because the Sundance was independent film, not big bloody
that's right.
big Hollywood ones.
Now, so let me think. What other movies? Robert Redford.
Well, there's how about this one here?
Give me a clue.
A classic. I'll give you a clue. It was just looking for an Academy Award, and it was set in Africa.
Mm.
His name was Dennis Fitch-Hatton, and the initials are OOA.
OOA.
Directed by Sidney Pollack.
Out of
Africa. All right, give you a tick.
Never saw it.
There we go.
I don't know, but I'll put it this way. He was what you call movie royalty gold. If he appeared in the movie, people would go and see it.
I mean, he wasn't just a movie star. He was a mega star. He was up there with – who was Barry Humphries, that mega star that he played? Who was the woman?
Dame Edna Everett.
She was a mega star in her own mind. Well, anyway, he's a real megastar. When Donald Trump heard that he just passed away, and it was so sweet, they said, "Did you hear Robert Redford?" And he goes, "Oh no, I didn't." And there you go. He passed away peacefully in his sleep.
Did he?
And he, just at home. Oh. He just didn't wake up one. And Donald Trump just goes, "That's the way. That's the way you want to go." Yeah.
Probably vaccinated.
I don't know. He was 89. Come on. He said, that's the way you want to go. But I always wanted to, I wanted Donnie to say, he died peacefully in his sleep, not kicking and screaming like the three other people in the car. Remember that, the old Jack?
Okay. Yeah. It's a Spike Milligan.
He was also in a movie I saw, Indecent Proposal, the dodgiest Rick and Rollo, 47. Robert Redford, we love you.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
Listening to the Rick and Rollo Nostalgia Hour on September the 20th, 2025. And back to the hosts, Rick and Rollo.
Hey, Rick.
You all right? Yes.
Hey, Rick. Rick, I'm a horse. I'm a horse whispering to you.
The horse whisperer. The horse whisperer. There you go.
I'll give you a tick for that. I'm a horse whispering to you.
That's funny. Rollo, you're very, very clever. And I'm telling you, did I watch that movie? No. No.
It looked too vomitous. So his first movie was called Toy Story, 1960. So uncredited. He's a basketball player.
I bet you now that he appeared, though, as a non-famous actor in the Twilight Zone or something like those shows. He would have been doing stuff back in the day, guaranteed, on TV. Look up his TV appearances, which will be very rare. They'll all be 1960, from 63 to 67.
Okay.
Yeah, there was TV shows involved.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, so television. Okay, so 1960 again. So he got into movies pretty quickly. So TV, he was on Maverick, Rescue Ace, the Deputy, Playhouse, 90, Tate, Moment of Fear, Perry Mason, Play of the Week, Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Yes,
Red 66, Whispering Smith, Naked City, Alfred. He obviously liked Alfred Hitchcock because he was on them. Dr. Kildare, he was a medical student. Twilight Zone, yes, he was on that.
So everyone,
the Untouchables.
Honestly, Untouchables. So look up, if you look up famous actors on Twilight Zone, you will just get smashed.
Oh, yeah.
So many, like, I'm talking about from Captain Kirk, you know, CK, there's another CK there.
He looked great, he was great.
He was in Twilight Zone. They all were.
Yeah, Pat got his start. Yeah, a lot of them, Martin Landau.
Barbara Bain, blah, blah, blah. Yep, for sure.
Rod Serling is to be commended for the amount of careers that he started. Because it's such a good show. I mean, if only he didn't smoke, we would have got... I mean, I like the 80s. That's how I got... I didn't even know there was a 60s Twilight Zone. I just enjoyed the 80s ones, and they were pretty good. But then you go back and watch the Serling ones.
Way
he was
better.
Like, he smoked 3 packs a day. He didn't even make it a 50, the bastard.
Probably had asbestos filters like they bragged about back in the 60s.
Oh, God, did they?
Yeah.
It was such a good show, though. It was like, I mean, some of the one where, what was it? The one where there was the thing on the wing when they made movie of it with John Lithgow. I really enjoyed that one.
What wasn't the original one, though, with, Captain Kirk, or the very original one came from this Twilight Zone, the original TV show. So that they brought that back, I believe. I think it might have been
for a movie.
What was Captain Kirk's real name? William Shatner.
William Shatner.
I think it might have been William Shatner in that original one. Mate, I could be wrong.
Yeah. Let me just type in William Shatner Twilight Zone.
He was definitely in it.
Yeah. But it's nice to see Robert Redford was in it. The Shatner was. So here's the Shatner version. Now, what was his?
There was definitely a TV. That one that we saw on the movie version of Twilight Zone was the demon on the wing or that kind of ghost on the wing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. Nick of Time, the Shatner one. I'll rewatch it for
posterity.
Oh yeah. Look how good looking Shatner was back in the day. Oh my God, I was never that good looking.
Did you watch Star Trek?
I've got it here on Paramount Plus. I started rewatching them, and then I went. It's just not for me. I just prefer Dexter and Doctor Who. Doctor Who was my favorite. Star Trek's too preachy and too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's all about morals and things that. Not that I'm. Yeah,
rewatch again is the Apple episode when that giant computer that takes over a planet.
Okay.
That's a great episode that I saw. I remember watching bits of it. I can't recall the whole thing. I have to watch the whole thing again.
Yeah.
But
I like Star Trek. Star Trek 4, mate, for me, is the one that Leonard Nimoy wrote and directed. It's a bit crazy. It's about the last two whales left on.
Yeah, yeah. It's sickening. It's really
it is sickening, but it is really good. I liked it. They had mobile. They thought they were, mobile phones and things like that. And he's trying to talk to the computer. I loved it. I thought it was. Whereas all the other ones were too science fictiony, and like the first one was, who did the first one? A real famous director. Star Trek the Motion Picture.
You mean the
real
movie?
Real famous. Yeah.
Really famous. I don't know. I've seen them all. I would have seen them at the movies back in the day, back when they came out. Because I was a fan of Star Trek. It was a good show. I was more into, though, and still to this day, way more entertaining is Lost in Space with and the other day, I have to correct.
Oh, I love that.
Robert Wise,
he did the first Star Trek. It was boring. It was just boring. It was too long. Boring.
Well, don't even talk about the remake of the last.
Oh, J.J. bloody Abrams and lens flares. And these bloody lens flares. Oh, my God. It was like, how did they think that this guy was going to be the next Spielberg? Do you know he has not made a movie or anything since 2019, that last Star Wars Rise of Skywalker?
One of my favorite things on YouTube back in the day was
what's that?
Hitler reacts to J.J. Abrahams getting the gig to do Star Trek. All of those Hitler from the downfall, they are so hilarious because it's so accurate, you know, when Hitler picks the phone up and starts getting the news that J.J. Abrahams is taking over the directorship of Star Trek. That's a really funny one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favorite one is when Thierry Henry, the French player, double handballs, then kicks it into the net to kick Ireland out of the World Cup. The Irish really put a lot of effort in. how pissed off Hitler was to that. Do you remember that when Thierry Henry just puts his hand out, taps the ball, and then hits it again, and then crosses it, and then the it is illegal. And then the Irish get kicked out of the French go through. I think it's because everyone hates the French anyway, don't they?
I reckon that was a psyop, guaranteed. You know why I say that? Because the French and the Irish love each other. Because what's their common denominator? Oh, okay. They hate the British. And I reckon that was a kind of a sports psyop to stop the French. To get the French and the Irish fighting, because it would work. I actually wanted to talk about that today, actually, because I was flicking around as I do when I'm lying around on my bed and I've got my mobile phone and I look on shorts, YouTube shorts. And they had a thing about Bradford. And I think one of our listeners on the show lives in Bradford in England. Yeah. It was Bradford and Huddersfield had a football match together the other day. And I was watching these fans, these dopey, imbecile sporting types. You know how the British soccer became gangs, basically, or firms.
You had to sit up on opposite ends. You couldn't even... Yeah,
Who are you? And they all do their fists. And this group of...
That's not only England, that's Scotland as well.
Yeah, I'm saying, but no, that's how they... This is social control via sporting teams. And so you've got all these Bradford supporters versus Huddersfield supporters doing the, you know, all drunk, standing at the side of rival pubs. You know, who are you? What are you? Whatever they say. I mean, there's some really funny songs that they make up.
Sure. But we had that in Australia, remember, Rick, until it got cleaned up by that ABC guy, Hill, whatever his name was.
No, we got it. Hang on, Rollo.
They cleaned it.
But we got it because Fox Media were deliberately antagonizing. But what they were doing is they're finding a picture of the coach with an angry face, and they put a picture of the coach, you know, like swearing or doing something or other, like a goal. They might have had an own goal. And next thing you know, the coach is angry. So they put that photo on the wall, on the paper, and then go, you know, they'll bring up another story about the rival team that they were about to play. And they encouraged anger at soccer games to see if they could get the same thing they did to England. I'm telling you, it's psychological, psychic driving. Absolutely. And I'm watching these Bradford supporters, you know, carrying on, and they're living in, like, basically India's taken over Bradford or some Middle Eastern area. There's all the businesses are owned by Muslims, yet these dumb local players are still, all they're interested in is their local football game and how, you know, that Huddersfield's playing and they beat them or whatever. And that's how they control smart people, by sport. Sport is the ultimate in the whole control of the public. England is the worst example of it, as far as I'm concerned. The fact that they get so angry, they have firms and rival fights, or, you know, and these stupid fuckwit imbeciles lining up ready to go, you know, when another team comes in, they have big brawls in the streets. And, like, for a stupid little ball rolling around on a paddock, they actually will kill themselves for it. It's absolutely ridiculous. It drives me.
It's sort of lesser with, not so much with Premier League. I'm not sure that they have to separate supporters in the Premier League.
Yeah, but they did. You know what they did? They brought to Australia at the very same time when they were, you know, flooding the place with migrants. They emptied out. What's that country? The Yugoslavia and the so Serbs and Croats both had rival teams. They you know this because you were living in one of those areas. Remember?
At the time, Bosnia, Croatia, what was the other? The Serbia, Bosnia, Serbia. Croatia, and Serbia and had all sorts of trouble in Lekamba. Yeah,
but in Lekamba, exactly. How did you end up? Can you tell me how you, from Newcastle or Taree, ended up living in Lekemba? Because that's a really...
I got a job at Westpac, a really cushy job, actually, at Westpac. And I was there from 1988 till 1990. And then I saw corruption and I stupidly opened my stupid mouth. And I got shit canned.
You got sent to Lekemba.
I didn't get sent to Lekemba. I got retrenched. I got not retrenched. What's the word? I got sacked.
Well,
yeah, I got frogmasked out of the place because I'm not sure now. Looking back on it, I should have just kept my mouth shut. It was none of my business. My manager was bouncing checks from a big company.
Wow.
And the CEO of the company was getting pissed off at me. And then, you know, obviously I had some inside information that I should never have said. And I don't want to go too much into it. And then I just found myself on the street that day. I was sacked. And I went. I said, "Oh fuck it! I've lost my job. The world's over. I'll go and order. I'll go and buy a video. Oh no! I'll go and rent a video from the video shop." So I walk up to the video shop, and Chris goes, "Why are you so sad, mate?" And I go, "I just lost my job today." He goes, "Oh, my wife's just fallen pregnant. We just found out yesterday. I'm looking for someone to do full time here at the video shop." And you want to, yeah. Can you believe how the world works? The day I get sacked from Westpac.
No, that's the way everything works. It's called ladders or sliding doors. Sliding doors.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, one door closes, the other door opens. And I was so much happier at the video store. All right, I didn't make nearly the same amount of money as I made at Westpac. But
you were working at the video store in Lekemba,
Civic Video for about a year. Yeah.
Until Lekemba's where the mosques, you know, they flooded Lekemba with Muslims.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was apparently just before you moved there or went there, what Lekemba was known for, because I worked out there, it had the largest, it was where the wool from the Australian wool industry was all graded at Lekemba. It was huge. Oh. I think the biggest man-made roof in Australia was Lekemba It was a wool grading place. So it was actually very Australian. But eventually, when you say to me Lakemba, I think of Muslim straight away. The word Muslim.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame you. It's like people with hijabs, like from head to toe. In the searing Australian heat. Can you imagine what these women smell like?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can remember going to not Movie World, but what's the one in Gold Coast, SeaWorld.
Mm.
This would have been, so the kids were...
I've been there, yep.
Yeah, the kids were, they were all walking. Maybe one of them might have been carried. But they were, so this would have been 20 years ago. I went to SeaWorld, the Gold Coast, and we're walking around, and I looked over, and there were groups of completely black clad, like walking around with bin liners over their heads, women roaming around on a hot day in the Gold Coast when the Gold Coast used to be really hot. And I remember thinking, surely to God, you wouldn't deliberately want to walk around dressed up like that. But, they love it, apparently. They thought it was fantastic. That's what they say.
It's because the husbands are worried about that. God knows what pretty wife is under there. And like, in Australia, like, why don't you wear a bikini and look sexy, but it's not part of their culture. I'll tell you something else about Lakemba. Just because it was hilarious. You know the guy from the Godfrey's ads with the pick up a bowling ball with his vacuum cleaner? Yeah. Well, at Lakemba was the main, just about 100 yards up the road was the main Godfrey's factory. And that dude with the came over that picked up the bowling ball, he rented one video from our store. It was Dances with Wolves in 1990. The day it came out, he rang me up and he said, "I'm Godfrey from the vacuum cleaner guy." And Mr. Godfrey,
was that his first name?
I'd say it's his last name. I can't remember, but I was glad to have met him and shook his hand. The only video that he wanted Dances with Wolves. The most boring movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I'll say this. Cleanliness is next to Godfreyness. That was the advert that
I did meet some other famous people in there. Chris's brother was Jeff Fenwick's sparring partner. So I got to speak to Mario. I got to speak to Mario Fenwick quite a few times. South Sydney footballer, the big guy.
What do they used to call him? The Maltese Falcon.
Was that him, Mario?
Mario.
Super Mario. Big guy. Really nice guy. Yeah. So I had the time of my life there. I was spot the Aussie when in Lakemba. There were no other Aussies. We used to play spot the Aussie. Rick and Roller, 47.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rick and Roller, 47, Saturday the 20th of September 2025. We're having a great time tonight on Rick and Roller. We're talking about our old days. Lakemba, to me, was so much fun. It's not racist, but we used to play spot the Aussie because there were just no white Caucasians in Lakemba in 1990-1991 is when I worked there. And I moved to Newcastle after that. I thought a year at the video store was long enough. I thought there's no career.
But I think it's, to me, my most interesting conversations back in, often back in the day, because I went to movies and stuff like that, was going to the video shop. And in Balmain, we had six video shops in an area. Now there's none, zero, nada.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Because of Netflix. Netflix.
Streaming, Netflix and streaming. We had a video store in New Lambton, and the guy, I just felt sorry for the guy. I just went.
We only lost our last one only about 5 years ago where I am, because I'm in a real old folks area.
See, that's still that's a long time ago.
But to me, that was where even my kids. So all three, the oldest 24 now, mm-hmm. and the youngest is 19. Sweet. They all understand and remember to the going to the video shop was a highlight of their, you know, because they go in there and
so much fun.
Pick five movies for, you know, five movies for $10 or whatever it was. So now this is completely gone from the generation, the new young.
Oh yeah, they miss out on that interaction of video night with the family.
And you'd have the chick. Or it could be a guy. You'd go into the video shop and you could have a conversation about movies with the guy that worked or girl behind the counter.
Sure.
And they all tended to be people into movies. Now, Quentin Tarantino, that was how he got into movies, because he worked in a video shop. Movies. I can't believe I never worked in one, because it would have been a perfect job for me. And there used to be in Balmain. Oh. Music and video shops, so you could go get CDs, DVDs, or at the same time. Mm-hmm. But you always found that the staff there knew about movies, and they were all keen watchers. And they used to sit there getting paid often to watch a movie on the screen.
Oh, yeah, we'd always get the early screeners and that. Yeah, but just on Quentin Tarantino, I saw something the other day. A little documentary about No Country for Old Men and how Josh Brolin got his gig in that movie, with that awesome movie. He was working on a movie, No Country for Old Men, it was called.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yavia Bardi.
He sent his audition tape. He was working with Quentin Tarantino at the time. So he got the script. And so he got it superbly filmed as his audition to the Coen brothers to get the gig, because there's not a lot of speaking in it. Like, there's really hardly any dialogue at all.
There's no dialogue. There's not much dialogue. Yeah. Well, there is, but it's very sparse.
But once they got that superbly, you know, he just happened to be lucky. He was working for Tarantino, who filmed and put all this old, you know, effects over the whole and really professionalize it, and he got the gig. So we have to thank Quentin Tarantino for Josh Brolin getting his part in No Country for Old Men, and I can't see anyone else in that role now. He was
when you watch it, there's a perfect movie. Loads of people could have played that role, but he did a good job playing a dumb kind of he was a two tour of Vietnam ex, you know, hunter. But like I said, I met his father on Heart to Heart when they were filming that, James Brolin.
James. He's married to that.
Babs Bryson. Big
Babs. Nose. Yeah, that's right.
Old big nose.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, but
what's James like? Yeah, James.
Really, you know, really nice, as opposed to Robert Wagner, who I thought was really nefarious. That's my opinion of him, and I got to stand around him. But the fact that James Brolin was one of those guys that just turned up, he became, you know, he was in the Space Fakery movie, Capricorn One. He was in.
He was awesome in Westworld. Westworld.
So the Brolin family are made men. The movie industry is a mafia, then the Brolins are not just random people. The fact that then Josh Brolin played, you know, the bad guy in the Avengers. We were just talking about the Avengers before. He played
Thanos.
Yeah, he played Thanos using CGI and stuff like that.
No, he was great. He was great in that.
He was that, but yeah.
You need a good bad guy.
You do, but the fact that they turn up in these really powerful movies. And I'm telling you, the Avengers Endgame series, they're powerful because but just prior to COVID, literally 3 months before or 4 months before, Endgame, and it was literally Endgame, everywhere you looked on a billboard or on a bus stop, it had the word Endgame. And so they were telling it, or no, they were telling those about that knew what was going on, something big's coming. Okay. And
didn't they shoehorn all the women in the one scene in that movie?
Yeah, like, pathetic. Oh my god. Yeah,
with Captain Marvel and
Vagina Candle, Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow, she looks over and goes, "We've got to help her. Let's all girls, let's all stick together." And all the, you know, these has-beens from, you know, nobody, well, not nobody, big screen actresses, they're all in the end game. They all group together. And guess who saves the men? It's the girls all band together. And they join up with Captain Marvel. It's sick. You want to get a bucket.
Scarlett Johansson's, her part was already set. So it wasn't, if it was her doing it alone or something. But she didn't have any superpowers, did she, her character?
No. She's what's her name? The Russian assassin. Black Widow.
The Black Widow.
I was talking to Dave J 2 weeks ago, and he brought up the fact that the guns that they're using, the Glock, it's got a number on it. I forget the name of it, but it's, you know, just a coincidence, like the Glock 9 or the Glock, you know, 33 or whatever it is. And she carries two of them and is always walking around shooting with Glocks.
Yeah. I sent you a 33 thing the other day about COVID.
Yeah,
it's the green light go, green light go, 33 new cases. Yeah, amazing?
So Endgame, the very final one came out about, it was about 2019, but it was about now, September. So all the posters were saying Endgame. Endgame everywhere. And so that was, I'm telling you, guaranteed telling people that the big end game starting. We're going to move into
the world's about to change. I think you're right. We would be called conspiracy theorists for saying things like that, but I think you're right.
Well, I'm registered. I've got my number here. It's 33 77 29 33. Guaranteed. I am one. Yeah.
I'm sitting out on the back balcony drinking the most beautiful
vodka and
Red Bull.
What brand?
Making the most beautiful cigarette.
Rollo, what brand of vodka?
Whatever Aldi sells. It's the cheapest.
No, but no, Rollo, it's
vodka.
I'm going to tell you now that Aldi do not sell crap vodka. It will be a good vodka.
I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing as much as I ever. I just can't buy Red Bull from Aldi. They don't sell it. They sell Monster. Really? No, Aldi doesn't.
If you're talking about conspiracy theories and evil logos, that brand, Monster, has the three nails, three rusty nails in the logo.
That's it.
Three, and they form an M, but it's not an M, just like Westpac is not. And interestingly, speaking of billboards, there's a new advert for Westpac, and instead of the W, it's made up of three smartphones, and it looks identical to the Westpac. Because I always thought
the Westpac logo was feet placements for Freemasons or something. It's a Freemason type.
It's that. But so, okay, it's four different logos. It's basically the trident. So you got the trident. It's the three nails. So they've got sharp ends. If you ever look at the actual W's, there's a kind of a point to them. It's the trident. It's three. Now you just said the fourth one. So it is where they stand and their feet are sticking out on an angle. Yeah,
100%. It used to be a different logo back in the 80s when it was Wales Bank. Yeah, Bank of Wales. That's right.
Completely different logo. And I only discovered this when I was in, because I do bank with Westpac. And I go into the Westpac and I was looking at it and I said, that's not a W, but it's three different shapes forming. And it's also the phoenix, because the two left and right form, and the middle is the head. It's a phoenix logo as well. So it's really powerful, really powerful. But yeah,
I'm with Commonwealth.
Yeah, I'm with
him. Commonwealth's logo, if you notice, it's that triangle, which is basically it's got that black.
It's like a pyramid. It's like looking down on a pyramid.
Yeah, golden pyramid with that black thing at the bottom. I think it's something to do with we're part of that black bit.
That's the part that's probably the population of the planet, what's going to be, and this is the elite is a little black bit, and the rest of you are all gone. You're gone. The yellow bit, you're going to be removed. And I'm going to suggest that.
What do you think the other bank? What's the other bank that's got the star ANZ. And it's got the no, not ANZ.
NAB.
No, National Australia Bank. Can you see the two? The number 11 in the star carefully.
Yeah, if you have a good look at it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Boy, you're doing some good stuff here. This is all I have to.
I've known that for years. Yeah.
Yep. NAB with 11 in it.
It's called hidden in plain sight. It's revelation of the method, hidden in plain sight. I mean, any conspiracy theorist 101 should know this.
Rollo, I'm pleased to hear you spouting my mantra, because that's what it is.
That video would be in your sensibilities, because it was so well produced, where the guys are all going, green light, go. This is like we're going for COVID. This is
oh my God.
Endgame or whatever, what you're saying. Yeah, endgame.
And there's 33 cases here, 33 cases there, 33 cases here, 33 cases there. How many cases have you got?
Unbelievable. 33.
Mm. Yeah, that was them telling you. Yeah, it's just telling you what was going on. And I still, I'll bring this up again. I've talked about it. It would have been about 2-3 years ago. Dino, my good friend, contacted me and said, can you come and give me a hand? I need to get. He's at a recycled timber place that his friend owned, and we're going to, sort out a whole lot of recycled timber. And I got there, and on this huge block, it was in Glebe, in inner city Sydney, and I was roaming around, and I looked over, and there was this shack there, and it had a junkie guy lived there with his daughter.
Okay,
and he was an artist, and I looked over, and I was kind of peering through as I was, picking up the good bits of hardwood that we were pilfering.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a picture of that fucking evil, what's her name? Not Karen Borg, the one that's
Kerry Chan.
So this junkie guy, he was a junkie, but he was an artist junkie living in this for free in a squat, basically. He painted, and I said, he was actually sitting at the front, and I said, did you paint that? And he went, yeah, I did. And he goes, it's part of my COVID series. And I went, that you have captured the evil in that woman's face with a paintbrush. And he hadn't used thick, how when you're painting, this guy used a really thick brush to just like a Rolf Harris type, how Rolf Harris painted with a paintbrush. Sure. This was like a Rolf Harris style sketch of Kerry Chan, and he captured the evil in that woman's eye like I've never seen before. Because that's how you look at people.
Do you think you'll ever see him again? I'll buy a copy. No.
I wish to God I could contact and find out if he's still living there. I've got a feeling that it's been bulldozed and there'll be a block of flats now. But. Oh man, honestly,
Dino is such a nice guy. When I met him with you up in Sydney, that's right. When I got pushed against, before I met you, the cop grabs me because I was wearing my Joker makeup and that Chrissy had put on me.
Yes,
and he grabs me on the shoulder and then puts it. Yeah, It's a fantastic job that Christy did. And the cop grabs me and then pushes me against the wall and says, where do you think you're going? I said, I'm going up to the protest. And you know, I was physically assaulted.
Yeah. Until I got you guys, 2021.
I did not feel safe until you, because Dino's a big guy. I did not feel safe until you and Dino were around me, because the cops were on high alert or something.
Yeah, no, because you had a bottle of champagne and you'd open it up and you were drinking.
No, I didn't. Not at that point. No, but
eventually, and that cop came up to us and said, "You can't drink here," and I said. No, you said to him,
Did I say something smarter?
No, you said, can you breathe in that mask? Because it was a really hot day. And these stupid cops all had blue masks on.
Mm.
And you said, can you breathe in that? And you could tell that he wanted to say, no, I can't. I'm really unhappy about it.
You could say something like this. No, I can't.
Can't hear a person speaking with their mask on. Oh, God, that was a crazy period. People would do Zoom calls and wouldn't feel comfortable talking to each other unless they were wearing a mask.
Yeah, and can you believe that there were companies that actually said to the staff, to, you know, you've got to wear your mask when you're doing a Zoom call so you don't make other people feel... It's like, are you serious? Are you fucking serious? That's what I said the other night, and I'll keep saying that every time we do a Rick and Roller show. You need to keep going on about COVID. Anyone that says it's move on. No. Apparently in America, I just heard this the other day, that they're telling everyone that the hospitals, it's mandatory masks if you go near a hospital. Now, that is still going on in Sydney, and guaranteed that you go into a hospital. And I went there last year, whenever it was, and a guy walked in. I was sitting down the back, and they said, you can't be in here without a mask on. So I just put one under my chin, and I was sitting there, and a guy walked in, and he said,
That was satisfactory. I could talk loud now because I'm back in the house. I can't talk loud on the...
Oh.
So you can wear a mask under your... chin. No, I can talk at my proper level now. See?
Yep.
When the I'm on the balcony, my voice... will still piss the neighbors off, even though it's only early in the night. I still don't want to piss the locals off.
No, you can't. It's a nice street, Robert. It's a nice street.
It is. It is a nice street, and I'm glad. I'm still honored that you guys. Hopefully, Susie will come and make a visit to Australia and maybe down at Lithgow.
Rollo, sorry, this is Hilda von Kleckenschwab.
I
heard you talking about Susie. Yes. She's wonderful, wonderful. And I keep wanting to tell her that she needs to be to her husband.
Can I ask Hilda, what's your husband up to these days?
Do you want me to tell you? Hang on, I'll be after the break. After the break, Rollo.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yes, Rick and Rollo 47, Saturday, the 20th of September, 2025. We've got on the line Klaus Schwab's. Are Auntie. You still his wife? Auntie. Hilda Kleckenschwab.
Sorry, Rollo. This is Hilda von Kleckenschwab from Switzerland. I'm still in Switzerland. And now you ask me Christian. Sorry, you ask me Christian about my husband.
What is your uncle? Is it your uncle?
Nephew.
Nephew.
No,
what's he up to?
No, he's lost his job, Rollo. I'm so sorry.
I know.
You know what he's doing, Rollo? He's cleaning.
What?
He's doing work. He's standing on the side of the road, asking for money to try and to get more money. Because, he's only got $23 billion in his bank account. He's very poor. I'm very upset for him. But anyway, Rollo, you asked me a question about my late husband, the 33rd one. I've had 33 so far. You asked me about him, and I said, yeah. Did you want to know what he said, the last thing he said before
what,
he...
What did he say, Hilda?
He said, and he hit the ground. He fell out of the window. Oh. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how it happened, but he just signed the marriage certificate and given me the insurance policy.
Was it a suicide, or was he pushed?
I think he might have... No, he fell accidentally, I see.
Oh, okay.
He says this, he goes, ah!
I like it. Not into the piranha pit.
No, but sadly, solid concrete. He missed the piranha pit. But the train ran him over, so he was gone.
Oh, you got. It was fantastic.
You know how much timing is involved to get someone to fall out a window? Now, I don't want anyone to record any of the things I'm saying.
Trust me. We've got the world's best producer. It'll be deleted, Hilda.
Anyway, I need to go because I need to go and
powder my nose. Thank you, Hilda.
Bye-bye.
Rick and Rollo, there we have just been joined by Hilda Clackenschwab.
No, he's
okay, Rick, are you still there? Yeah, Rick? There you are. Thanks, mate.
33, I said 33 husbands. I mean, come on. I mean, she's obviously killing them all.
Oh, 33 husbands. Bloody hell, the connection to Switzerland wasn't that good. So I missed that bit. I don't know how you heard it and I didn't.
I was just in the toilet doing normal things as you do.
Yeah, well, everyone goes to the toilet unless you're Dexter.
And why not? Now, speaking of which, Rollo, so Dexter, it's finished now. Are you all satisfied that it was a great ending?
Well, it's not an ending. I think Paramount Plus are going to give us a season two.
Well, I bet they are. I think
the ratings are through the roof. They cancelled New Blood, which was a shame because I was enjoying that. But Original Sin. Sorry, New Original Sin, the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and it was a prequel series. It was really good. Oh. New Blood, a lot of people didn't like. New Blood was the one where he went into a little country town, a snowy town, and he hooked up with his son Harrison, and Clancy Brown, the guy from the Kurgan, what's his name?
You know
the bad guy from Highlander, you know, Russell Mulcahy's movie, The Highlander.
The original.
The one with Christopher Lambert and Clancy Brown going at it. One of my favorite movies of all time, Highlander, with Sean Connery.
Actually, we talked about that with Silas Speaks, and it's quite interesting. It was Be Told ago. It was interesting that they bought in for Highlander a Frenchman to speak a Scottish accent. That's and right. a Scotsman to do a Spanish accent. they brought Sean Connery to be a Spaniard. Can you believe that Hollywood would do these things? But yes, they do. It's just crazy. It just makes no sense to me. No sense.
An Australian, Russell Mulcahy, who was basically a music video.
Yep. I think he did
music videos. His first movie was Razorback. Remember that?
Yeah,
with the wild pig?
Terrible. Yeah.
It was a simple horror movie.
Yeah, but didn't he do Duran Duran? He did Hungry Like the Wolf.
Let me look him up. Russell Mulcahy.
Australian video director. Yeah. He also did some stuff for NXS, guaranteed.
No, that was Lowenstein, Richard Lowenstein.
Okay, Richard Lowenstein. No, check out Russell Mulcahy. I'm sure he did something for NXS because he was the most famous Australian videographer. Because back in the 80s when MTV arrived, you had to make these pretentious movies.
Who Russell Mulcahy? He looks exactly like. He looks like ding, ning, 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 ning. Pump it up. He's age 72. Yes.
Really?
He looked exactly like Elvis Costello. This,
wow.
This picture here, I'll just post it on, share that too. Rollo's Balcony. Have a look at it. Here we go. Rollo's Balcony. I'll put it on. That's Russell Mulcahy there. Tell me that doesn't look like Elvis Costello to you.
Is that recent though? You're
yep. talking about? Yep. There you go. Have a look at that. Look at that. Tell me that doesn't look like. It looks like.
Yeah, you're right. No. He looks. Yeah,
it looks like. Yeah. I'll tell you who it looks like. The fellow that doesn't have the son, the proper son, Woody Allen. He's got a Woody Allen look about him.
Well, only because he's got those glasses on. He looks like.
Maybe.
A son of Oliver Reed from this photo that you're staring me. But, he doesn't.
Ollie. We all love Ollie. We all love Ollie.
You got to watch, not now, but after the show, you got to watch the Richard Harris interview that I shared from Parkinson. And you've got to, honestly, Rollo.
Here we go. This is what he did. He did the Buggles video, killed the radio star. He did he directed Turning Japanese by the Vapors on Turning Japanese. Yep. So there's some.
Do you know what that song was
very
about?
Very famous. What's that?
Do you know what Turning Japanese
It's about having an orgasm, isn't it?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't born yesterday, mate. Yeah, it's the face you pull when you're having an orgasm. I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
Great song.
Great song.
The Vipers. Mm. But anyway, so Russell Mulcahy. Anyway, no, sorry. I shared you an interview with the Irish, total Irish rebel, guaranteed, Richard Harris.
Oh, yeah.
On,
here we go. Richard on Parky in 1973. Yep.
It's absolutely fantastic because, he was just a troublemaker. What is it about the Irish?
He looks a bit rough back then. Because that's right. Him and Peter O'Toole, weren't they best of buddies?
Drunk all their lives. But anyway, I'll tell you this. Apparently, he came from an extraordinarily wealthy family, which is no surprise.
Oh, right. Old money.
And his father, he went to a school, a private school, and he said that he was so hopeless at school and did not have any interest in anything. There was 11 other pupils at this private school in Ireland. And so they put them. So they created a special class for them because these guys had no interest in learning anything. And I have to agree, I was exactly the same. My school record is abysmal, except for social studies and English. I was really good at that. But
I hated
school from year dot. I formed an escape committee at kindergarten. We're going to go under the wire.
Kindergarten. I think you might be exaggerating there, but there
slightly.
You go.
But it wasn't far off it. It was not far off it. Yeah, we're going under the wire. We're digging a hole and we're getting out of here. We're not listening to this shit. And I'm telling you, it didn't get any better when I got sent to primary school.
What do you think Pink Floyd wrote that song? We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Although I don't think Johnny Rotten liked. What did Johnny Rotten say? I hate Pink Floyd. They wrote a song that was just as subversive as the punk rock that he was doing.
So Richard Harris.
Before you go on. I think he hated Pink Floyd just because they were squillionaires. No. They were squillionaires and they didn't work. I tell you, I met who's the drummer? Rick. The woman was one of his best friends. that I worked with. Well, she was my boss, Rick, actually, at the Rick, Town Hall Hotel.
Yeah, Rick. Yeah.
Hold on.
And he owns.
I've had a few drinks.
I know that, but he's got a speedway built in his backyard.
That's it. A literal
speedway. Waters Gilmore, and the guy that's dead that played the keyboards, and the drummer.
We've lost him, have we? Nick Mason.
Yeah.
Okay, she was very good friends, and I sat down and spoke to her when the bar was like, I'd just done my, because I used to run trivia at her bar, and they used to pay me way more than I should have been paid.
And they knew Nick Mason.
She was good, very good friends. They were very good friends with him. She was, not the two brothers. Her brothers weren't. One of them was in the Australian Ballet, and the other one was a bloody a soprano.
Well,
a soprano singer.
I bet they're both unmarried and they've got some husbands.
They were all in the arts. The arts is all they cared about, but they just wanted to own a pub, and I just happened to be there. It's one of those things again. Remember when I got sacked from Westpac and I got that job?
Sliding doors.
Well, when I got that job, doing, and it didn't work to start with. I thought no one liked, because the trivia I tried to do was way too clever, and I had to make I had to dumb it down, if you know what I mean.
Oh, of course.
The trivia questions I was asking the locals, and then I realized what I was doing wrong. And it only took me a couple of weeks. And then I had the place packed.
Yep. Trivia is a huge
because they bring their friends. But the first couple of times you think I'd give it away. Because I was getting, shut up, you're useless, bloody hopeless, and that. And then eventually, after a couple of weeks, then you work out what would get the guffaws and the laughs.
Yeah.
On the mic and go, yeah, we got the answer right there. And everybody's getting into it. I tell you, by the end of doing that is like one of the funnest feelings, where you got a whole pub full and it's not trivia questions that have been given, because what they've done now is all the trivia is now done like a McDonald's or whatever, where they just send a packet. They send a packet out and all you do is read these generic questions. And
I'll tell you an interesting story about this whole trivia thing. They had a thing in pubs around Balmain called Tranny Bingo about 20 years ago, or maybe even less, whatever. And all of a sudden, they got told you cannot call it Tranny Bingo anymore. And that what they were doing, they'd have a tranny turn up, like it was a bloke wearing a dress running like a funny bingo night. Random queen they'd found that was, confident enough to stand up in front of people dressed up in a dress. Mm-hmm. And they were told you cannot call it Tranny Bingo because they wanted to make tranny not offensive anymore. They wanted tranny to become a good word. You're a tranny, And I remember thinking, why would they ban them using tranny as a word? But it's because there's an agenda going on, guaranteed. And they didn't want it as a mocking term. Tranny, they want it as a positive term. And that's what's going on, guaranteed.
Yeah, well, transvestite back in the day was like, back in the day, we used to have parties where men would dress up as women and the women would dress up as men. What were those parties called? It was quite normal.
Kind of normal, yeah.
It was never an issue. It was, Like, you ought to see me dress. Did you remember the Queen video, I Want to Break Free?
Yes. Yeah,
Freddie Mercury in a dress. I'll tell you who looks the cutest. It's the drummer.
Yeah, yeah. Roger Taylor.
Yep. He looks awesome, but the bass player.
Looks terrible. And he looks even worse now. Yeah.
But I swear to God, Roger Taylor, when he's washing up and he looks over so coquettishly at the camera, he goes, "You look kind of cute." I know, but Freddie with his comes out, the big mini skirt. And apparently, they said, "Don't do that because you'll never break America if you do this." And they didn't give a fuck. They said,
We're doing it.
They did it fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. We'll talk about Queen for a bit.
Mm.
They started out this.
Did you heavy did rock you see band. That? Did you see that biopic? The one that was supposed to have the Jewish guy was supposed to. Yeah, they would have been better if Sacha Baron Cohen had played Freddie, but they didn't want him to do it. He wanted to play it straight. Half the shit in it wasn't even real. Apparently,
I thought it was terrible. I watched it and I thought it was a terrible film. That's me, but I was a Queen fan back in the day. But they started out very much heavy rock, and even today, the Seven Seas of Rye and all those great fantastic songs. We might go out with Seven Seas of Rye tonight, actually, which is a fantastic song by Queen. And then they
I'll send it to Villa. Yeah, original.
Original. And put high.
Keep going.
HQ. You always have to add HQ. High quality.
HQ. All right. I'll find it. I'll send it to you. I'll post it on the balcony before I send it to Villa.
Keep going. Queen came out as this heavy rock act. Very similar to Sweet, but with four vocalists in the band of four people that could all sing, and then they I think they were part of the old agenda. And I remember saying, I'm talking about years ago, suggesting that the fact they were called themselves Queen, it was like a positive role model for the whole royal family. They wanted the royal family to be kind of hip and cool. So they called this heavy rock band Queen after, Queen Elizabeth, literally. And that was part of the whole agenda. And then they turned their music around. Freddie came out as a gay guy. The music changed into funk, into rock, and, it went from heavy rock into a completely strange, old-fashioned rock and roll, that album they did, whatever it was called, where they were playing old you're listening to
Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Yeah. Rick and Rollo. You go, Rick.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 47 on the 20th of September 2020. And back to the host, Rick and Rollo. Thank you very much, you funny old man. Hey, so
just in the break, I listened to Seven Seasons of Rye. It's not one of their biggest hits, but it's not at all.
Great song,
it is a snappy tune for a 2-minute. I like 2-minute tunes. What was their I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, we do the fandango.
11 minutes, 33 seconds, or whatever it was.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, seriously?
Yeah, but can I just tell you now, Rollo, as a child, you know, how old would I have been in 78, 14 years of age, right? On TV, all of a sudden, they'd play the entire song of Bohemian Rhapsody as a filler break in between, you know, Doctor Who and, sorry, pardon me, there was some cartoon watching. And
are those Becks not going down right?
They're not actually. I don't drink during the week.
Keep going, Queen.
Wednesday, you know, Queen. So that song, Bohemian Rhapsody, which was literally, I think it was 6 minutes, 7 minutes. It was extraordinarily long.
Mm.
But DJs. They were working as DJs. They could literally know that if they're going to play the original recording of Bohemian Rhapsody, jump out, go to the toilet, run across the road with a pint. You could do all sorts of things in between playing that song from start to finish. And that song has got to be full of lyrics that are just really, really out there stuff. You know, there's all sorts of stuff, nefarious stuff.
You're talking about Bohemian Rhapsody. I never played it when I did local radio back in. I used to play my long ones. Yeah, I used to like the long ones.
Was never a song as long as Bohemian Rhapsody. Ever allowed.
So you could go and take a shit. You can go and take a shit in comfort.
Or two.
Yeah,
or two.
Exactly. And you, because you'd have a speaker in the actual little room of the house, and you could and you'd know full well that you've got plenty of time.
Time to do whatever you
want. Unless the record is scratched, then that's when you're fucked, and you haven't wiped. You haven't wiped. You run. You open the door. You run out. Get back into the studio and stop it going. I see a little. I know. You don't have that problem so much these days because we don't even have CDs anymore. Where CDs would go.
Oh yeah.
Whereas everything's digital. Everything's digital now. Yep. You can't fuck up. There's no chance of a fuck up.
Mm. Compared to
when we play 17th of Rye when we go out, there's no chance of a
fuck up.
I didn't know how the lyric goes. Yeah, if it going
That was a problem for the old-fashioned DJ. Mm. Is a scratch record, big problem, guaranteed.
But you hear the same thing you hear, the same thing again.
That's why I keep saying you've got to, if you want to listen to the best audio quality. Comedy ever was the Monty Python records back in the day. And they would deliberately put in scratches into their records. So you go, oh dear, and you'd hear a scratch.
People would put
a scratch in the record. They'd actually have the recording themselves.
Yeah, I know why they do that. It's so brilliant. So people would go over to their record player. And try and fix it. It was done in America too. There was a guy called Andy Kaufman. What he did was play with a horizontal feed on one of his. It was
Andy Kaufman.
And the people would go over and try and adjust their TV.
Yep.
And that's typical.
He was a rebel.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman was a rebel.
Yeah, people chaos. Yeah.
What a coincidence that Jim Carrey would end up becoming his
Apparently working with him on set was a nightmare. the guy Milos Forman, who did, you know, a classic director who did, you know, One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and whatnot. Yeah. And he said it was the nightmare working with Jim Carrey on that film. He said it was a freaking nightmare. But they did get a decent end. Boy, it's called Man on the Moon, wasn't it? If you believe, they're going to put a man on the moon. Because it was the song about Andy Kaufman in a wrestling match. Because Andy Kaufman used to wrestle women, not men. Yeah, because he thought it was funny.
He was mad. I do believe Andy Kaufman was mad. He was not. Yeah. He was actually literally mad. M-A-D, properly mad.
Yeah, but hey, he got on TV and he did that Mickey Mouse. Save the day.
He played Lutka in Taxi.
Lutka in Taxi. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they tried to make that movie, what's his name? Milos Forman go, how are we gonna not have you? Because the short fella, what's his name?
Danny DeVito
was playing his sort of manager, like Andy Kaufman's manager. He goes, how are we not gonna have you in the team? And they said, we just won't use you. We've got Christopher Lloyd. We've got all the older actors, and they're all there. It was a brilliant film. It's up there with the Peter Weir. It came out the same year, didn't it? As the Truman Show. He hit. I think it was either year apart or whatever. But you know, he did the Truman Show and bloody Man on the Moon, two of the greatest films of all time. When I talk about films, I say greatest films of all time.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Honestly, but Jim Carrey, did you watch number 23, the 23 film?
I did. And there was no comedy in that.
Zero comedy. Zero
it was all conspiracies. That's right. The book was written by Top Secrets.
Top Secrets. No, it was actually written by a famous conspiracy writer.
The book in the movie was called by Top Secrets. Secrets. Yeah. It was a conspiracy movie. It was fine.
I'll watch it and Carrey has definitely gone rogue, I would say. Rogue as a actor.
I think he might come back for the... Is it the third Sonic the Hedgehog? He said he wouldn't come back for the second one.
He's making serious money if he's doing.
Oh, Dr. Robotnik is just.
He's go just to Comic-Con. All you have to do is go to Comic-Con and see how many people.
Wear a big long mustache. Robotnik's bald, right? He's got those crazy glasses on.
But I'm telling you, Comic Con is a sign of how big this whole, film and computer game stuff has become. It is absolutely massive. You know, it's bigger than anything that if you're in a computer game.
I just don't know if I want to go and hang around young dweebs.
We're too old.
But Dexter still would work at Comic-Con, wouldn't you? Yeah, you were saying it the other day.
Yeah. Yep. If you dressed
so
up.
So there you go. So, yeah, we're still into Dexter, Al. I swear to God, you wrap me up in, I'll play either the victim or Dexter. I think you'd want to play Dexter, wouldn't you? I'd play the victim.
I've been to five Comic Cons, and I've not dressed up at all. And I feel weird roaming around with everyone else dressed up. You actually feel weird if you're not dressed up. But I went to one.
I'm different. When I was dressed up as Joker that day with your mate Dino and those cops. What they were dog pile and they crack that guy's skull, where who was it that said that that wasn't real? And they really hurt him. They really hurt that guy.
A whole lot of people.
They really hurt that guy. It was awful.
Look, I'm indifferent now with all that stuff. I think he could have been a guy that was from a special forces getting paid to play the role of a
radical. if it was, he really did a good job.
The fact that, I tell you what, the fact that his girlfriend looked at, she looked over at me like, what are you going to do? Like, you know, and she was freaking out.
And the blood pissing out of his fucking head.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I know. You listen back into your mind.
This is the thing. The whole thing about conspiracy theories, if you suggest something's real, you get polled on and you are absolutely exonerated of any conspiracy.
Something that can't be denied is the ridiculous nature of Australia during that 2021 to 2023. It was a conspiracy, I would say. There was no such thing as COVID. I think it was just a made up thing.
Yes.
But how everybody went along with it, and people that had no power. That was the thing that pissed me off. People that had no power suddenly gave them a little bit of power. And that's why, you know, if you decided to, there's no fucking way I'm wearing a face mask.
No.
Anywhere. I got attacked in an IGA.
IGA.
Whatever. Yeah, even though I was going along with it a little bit, I wore the tag saying I'm exempt.
Yeah.
But the guy didn't even bother to read that. He just came up and gave me a gobful straight to my face. Now, I figured that because he was wearing his face mask, I couldn't hear a goddamn word he was saying, but he was up there going. And then when I clapped back, he took, It really was. He turned around because he was a lot older than me, and the donkey kick that he gave me was.
And your testicles.
Oh, yeah, but my Red Bulls saved my testicles. The whole Red Bulls, it cracked one of them. It split one of them in half.
Yeah, but lucky it wasn't your testicles. Well, lucky it wasn't your testicles.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't have anything in front of them. Yeah, he would have crushed them.
But you bled blood.
Well, I was still injured. That's right. Because I did.
No, I remember.
I'm not sure if that was from the injury from that or just from drinking too much.
I bet it was.
Too much. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm so glad to be away from that place.
You've got the best.
There's such a bunch of stuck up. You know, my farts don't smell up there in New Lantern. Cardiff is awesome.
Cardiff, way better than New Lantern.
Mm.
Way better than New Lantern, yeah. No, it's more, down to earth.
I got up this morning and mowed my lawn with pride. I was thinking of you, Rick. Every time I mow my lawn now.
Think of me.
And I miss the blade of grass. I go back and get it.
Run out and get it. Or do you run up with a tape measure and line up
the ground? No, I don't tape measure.
That's what I do. Hey, Rollo, did you hear me?
I even mowed my neighbor's front yard.
Did you hear my story about what happened to me last Wednesday?
Go.
So I was lying in the backyard measuring grass stems and weeds to make sure they're all the right level. And my son came running down the hill and he had a cup in his hand for some reason, which I later found out is what he used to put out the fire. And so I had, on my back door where I actually just been standing for the last, how long have the show's been going? I had a plastic bucket which you put your plants in. And I used to just throw my cigarette butts into it. And so there was about, say it was half full. say it was a month's worth of butts, right? It was a hot, this is Wednesday this week. Yeah, Wednesday. I must have had one about 2 o'clock, and I threw it in there. And I was mowing my lawn because I didn't want to come back to a long lawn. So I was, you know, getting mentally disturbed by having a uneven lawn. And my son came running down and he goes, "Dad, there was a fire and it's caught, your ashtray caught fire." And I went, "What do you mean caught fire? You know, I just threw a cigarette butt in it." So I came back up again and I discovered that he'd come out, he'd smelt burning plastic. The butt I'd thrown in there caught fire like flames, burnt from one top, the top of, so basically it was this plastic bucket and a some kind of planting thing that I've got on my back steps. It caught fire, it burnt. If he hadn't been here, it would have been, the whole house would have burnt down. It literally, one cigarette butt set fire to all the other ones and actually formed a flame, burnt through one level and then dripped down and started a fire on the next level of a bucket thing that I've got on my back. Now, I had no idea how flammable things could be. I'm telling you now. So he saved me. He completely saved me. So he's worth his weight in gold.
Good boy.
Like all my other children.
Well, let's give him, we'll do the John Laws yay for the day.
Yay for the day.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Remember John Laws used to do that?
Yep.
We'll get Velocity to put a yay over the top afterwards. I did exactly the same thing, bro. I used to, went up there at Floralia. I used to flick my it wasn't a bucket. It was we used to have, because we're hopeless with growing plants. So I just basically used it as anyway, I was in there on the lounge, you know, sleeping off probably a bottle of vodka or something. And then I'm going and then I'm smelling this acrid, you know, smell of rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't have smoke detectors in my place. And I go out the front and this thing's smoking like a motherfucker and it's burnt that on that left part of, cause you've been there at Floralia.
Yeah.
And it was fully alight. Yeah. But it was that acrid
smell,
that smoke, that the rubber. Yeah. That when it caught light, and because a lot of people don't wake up from, that's why you have to have smoke detectors.
No, you get put to sleep by the fumes of the smell actually make you go to sleep. And so you die in your house. What famous actor died of smoke inhalation? One of my favorites. Steve Marriott from The Small Faces. He died from his cigarette butt on his mattress, started smoking, and he died. And he passed away from, it killed him, literally. And he was a fantastic singer. But it can happen, so you've got to have smoke detector. You're listening
to Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller.
Rick and Roller 47.
47.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Oh, yes, you're listening to Rick and Roller Show, episode number 47 on 20th of September 2025. Back to our hosts, Rick and Roller. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Rollo.
What a funny little fella he is.
He's only about 5 foot tall. And he's wearing
a suit. On Friday the 19th of April 1991, Marriott and Poulton flew home from the United States, where Marriott recorded songs for a future album with Frampton during the flight. Yep. According to Poulton, Marriott was drinking heavily and was in a foul mood, and the two argued constantly. After arriving in the UK, a mutual friend met them, and they all went out to dinner at the at Marriott's favorite restaurants, the Straw Hat in Sawbridgeworth, where they consumed more alcohol. After dinner, they returned to their friend's house and decided to stay overnight. It was late, but upstairs in bed, Marriott and Paulton continued to argue. Paulton finally fell asleep and later awoke to discover that Marriott had taken a taxi to his home at a nearby village of Askarchenstan. About 6:30 on the 20th of April, passing motorists saw the roof of Marriott's cottage ablaze, called the fire brigade. It was reported that four or five engines needed to put out the fire. The newspaper interviews the assistant divisional fire officer of Essex Fire Brigade, Keith Dundas, who's, the Marriott said, it was a tough night. It was a tough fight getting upstairs. We searched the bedroom areas. It was very hot. We knew immediately that no one could have survived the fire. We began to feel around the walls and discovered him lying on the floor between the bed and the wall. I would say that he had been in bed and tried to escape. As soon as I saw the body, clearly I knew who it was. I used to be a fan. It's difficult to put my feelings into words. The scene was horrific. The corner of the room, I saw him lying there. I thought what a pity it was. I dealt with many fires, but this one was like walking down memory lane. We managed to salvage all his guitars, musical equipment. I feel a bit upset. All the firemen do. It was like seeing part of our lives gone forever, the fire officer said.
Can I just tell you, when I was doing one of my jobs that I lost through COVID, guaranteed, because I wouldn't take a vaccine, I lost a job that was worth $600 or $700 a week, thanks to COVID. And, you know, when I used to go to this job, there was a painter there, he was an English guy, and he was a massive Stevie Marriott fan. And he said that one day he went to remember that suburb. It was a venue in Sydney. The Winnie is called what was it called? It was in a beachside suburb. It was a really famous rock venue. Anyway, one day he was there having a few beers during the day in the Maroubra. I forget the name of the pub. Anyway, he looked over. And he recognised Steve Marriott was playing that night, and he'd come in to do a sound check. And he said he walked over and said, "Look, hey," he goes, "Steve Marriott, you know," and Steve Marriott, you know, came over and sat next to him. And he said, "Look, I'm going to be cooking tonight. I'm making a proper British old-fashioned breakfast in the morning." He said, "Would you like to come over to my house for breakfast?" I'm making Toad in the Hole, which is God knows what that is, but Toad in the Hole is one.
I think it's mashed potato with sausages put into it and put under the grill.
Whatever. So anyway, Steve Marriott said, he goes, fantastic. Yeah. And him and another guy from his band met him the next day. They went and had breakfast at his house. And he said to me, he was the nicest bloke you've ever met. Because Steve Marriott wrote, like, in the 60s, and if you listen to the Be Told show, that's Small Faces, the theme song of...
Apparently it's sausages in Yorkshire pudding. I've only seen the version where it's egg in toast.
But it's something the English know and love. It's, like, special. It's, like, one of their things. So he had Steve Marriott come back to his flat in Maroubra, eat what he cooked, which to me sounded like whatever, but it was apparently Steve Marriott was over the moon and said that was fantastic, and they had a great time. And I love that story. And then finding out that he died from that fire,
I've got an equally good story. Can we have a Frampton song then? What's your favourite Frampton song?
I just popped in. Because I heard you.
was talking about Peter, Steve Marriott, not Peter Frampton. Yeah.
I heard you talking about how you put on those long records when you wanted to go to the bathroom. So I just thought I'd pop in and share this with you. You have to listen carefully. I just got in touch with your old radio station. They sent me a tape of your show. So do you want to go? You guys want to hear it?
Yeah, let's have a listen. Yes, we do.
Is that
Rollo's old show?
Did you get that thing from Susie that she sent me? I listened to just recently bits of it. She sent something she found hilarious from the apparently hilarious from the.
Let's hear that. A big because she gave you a big happy birthday. 75th.
That's me. 75th. No. But, that was the last bit of Queen that Joel just played. But no, apparently that she sent something to him personally.
I was expecting a bit more of a laugh. It was the ending of Queen repeating on vinyl while Rollo's in the toilet farting and flushing the toilet.
Okay,
You were talking about how the vinyl kept looping at the end, so I had that looping and then the toilet noise. Right. Yeah.
Very funny.
Thank you.
Very Bella. Funny.
We love
very
you.
Funny. We love you. Amen.
Oh,
but you know, apparently, so, what's the name though? Has sent that amazing, apparently something really funny from. Sorry, I'm doing stuff as I'm talking.
You're
with
right.
my later food issue.
No, I didn't get anything.
Susie, our number one, my number one fan, definitely the number one fan of truthmeats.com, guaranteed.
I would have sent you the link if. Did she put it on YouTube?
No,
she sent
it to Joel. So Joel.
Do your The Winner Is and then go Susie.
The winner is. Susie! There you go.
Nice.
The winner is Susie. Yeah, no, so...
So you'll put it in post.
Oh, no, we don't need to, but I'm saying apparently whatever
no,
it was...
No, I see what Bella is trying to do there. No, that's cool.
No, I listened to...
I just popped in to play that thing I found in your archives. I've got to go because I've got to work tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Joel. So, you're the best. Oh, my
God. I'll listen while I go to sleep.
Oh, my God. All right.
So, Joel, at the end, you're going to put on Queen, Seven Seas of Rye.
Whatever you send is the final song is what I'll put on.
Yeah.
Thank you, my man.
Rollo sent that.
I'll tack your air check on the end as well.
Thank you, Joel.
Can we have one song just before you go, just a mid song, so I can go to the toilet?
Oh, don't make it a mid song. Make it a good song.
It's a good song. It's called Moby in My Heart. Do you remember the band? Remember the guy Moby? It's a person. Can you play a little bit of Moby in My Heart so I can go to the bathroom and then I'll be back afterwards? You play.
Is it worth it, Roller?
It's a lovely piano. It's a lovely piano.
Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you. Rick and Roller, 47. Thank you, Bellaset. Moby.
My heart, Lord.
Rick and Rollo.
Hope come
47. I gotta admit, it's a song that means everything to me. It was a song used at one of my best friend's wedding.
Oh.
When they walked down and the Sydney University wouldn't, their church, they had to argue to allow them to walk down the aisle to that song to get married, and they're really? Still happily married, and there are so many people that are at their wedding are not with us today, and it was such a sweet song, and Velocet, are you still there?
Jolla.
Just before you go?
Jolla. Is sound asleep.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jolla, when he played, I must admit, I did enjoy listening to, Pretty Vacant, mixed with Madonna, Ray of Light. When the ad came for, what's it called, for truthmeets.com in the middle of the song, it did annoy me to start with. Now I'm used to it. I listen back to it. I couldn't understand why the ad would come through the middle when it was put in post.
It was put in post.
It wasn't actually done live.
If we were real pros, Rollo, you'd understand the 20 minutes between the break, and we wouldn't play a song. You know,
so you're saying which episode was that? Are you saying there's one that has the?
It was when we put the mix up with the Sex Pistols and Madonna. One of the ads comes through the middle of it of truthmeets.com. I'm not kidding.
I wasn't there that time though, was I? No, this is in post.
Okay. Look,
stop saying it's okay. I'm asking you a fucking question to figure out what went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
No, it didn't go wrong. No. Rollo asked to play that song, and it would have been 17 minutes.
But I didn't play it in on the night. This is like something I fixed up the next day, is it?
Yes, that's it.
I remember hearing that Madonna song, and I swear I was just hanging around the computer when it played. I don't know how a bumper ended up in there.
Yeah, it must have happened. Yeah,
how many weeks ago?
It did.
Do you remember which episode it was?
It was the end of Rick and Rollo 46.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago on a Wednesday night.
Trust me, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. I think it's a happy accident.
I can go back and fix it. It's easy to fix.
Don't leave it.
Rick and Rollo 46, we did it our way. That had the Sex Pistols guy on the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, it was Be Told. Sorry, it was Be Told.
Be Trollo.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Be Trollo. Yeah.
Okay.
Be Trollo.
I'll check that.
But no, look, it worked. I thought it sounded good because the song came in.
Don't fix it.
The bumper came in, and then the song kept playing afterwards. So it was no problem whatsoever. What are you on about, Rollo? What are you on about?
I just thought it was fascinating that.
No, it is. I can understand I mistime it and I accidentally play it when the bumper's going to come on when we're live.
Right.
But if I'm not there, when I do it in post, I don't know how a bumper ended up there if I was in post.
Yeah, that's it.
Did it cut off the music and you only heard the bumper?
To me, it was no problem whatsoever. But Rollo, obviously.
Shush for a second, Rick. Let me just answer that question. It was the music. The bumper came in over the top, and then the music continued. It wasn't like the music stopped and the bumper. It was just
right.
Bumper
but you didn't hear them both at the same
just
time.
A happy accident.
Did you hear them
leave
both
it,
at the same
leave
time?
It the way. No. The bumper was
so the bumper did come over the top.
Yeah,
completely cutting off the music.
Yep.
Okay.
I can't remember that. I can't remember. Anyway, Rollo, I think we'll wind it up for Rick and Rollo.
Are you all scared now? I mean, we've just got Velocet here now.
No, he's going to.
How's your week been?
Rollo's.
Well, you got a bumper in 2 minutes, so if you want to play that song, we'll do it now and fuck it up again.
Yeah, let's do it.
That seems to be a rise. That's classic Velocet. It was only 2 minutes.
That's classic Velocet. Yeah.
So it should be fine. But anyway, no, Jolo and Rollo, I think we've done.
No, Jolo, are you in your studio now?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you definitely still putting on the Lithgow Bilderberger?
Yeah, eventually.
I think we should invite Susie.
I've had enough of you for a few months.
Rollo, Susie is in the middle.
You haven't even sorted out a fucking donation for me, you cunt, and then you'd buy fine people.
Hey,
Rollo, if you haven't paid Jolo, Rick, if you haven't paid Jolo, Rollo, no, I'm going to interrupt. You better pay him $330 now.
Shush. No. All right. When I get down to, I'll give you $300 in cash. When I get to,
when you come to live, you said I had to come to Newcastle to get $300 in cash.
Yeah, I know. I bought the barbecue. We had the barbecue that paid $300. There we go. Ring and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo
with Velo, with Vel.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Rick and Rollo on Saturday night. And yeah, I need to get up at 4 a.m. So I need to go to bed.
Yeah, Rollo, shut the fuck up, Rollo.
Everybody yells at Rollo. What? I'm the nice guy.
That's what you keep saying. You keep saying that. But I don't.
You guys are great.
Did you not give Jolo $300 the other night? No.
Shut the fuck up. I'll give it to him when we get down to Bilderberger.
No, Golo, you're going to give it to him way before
no,
that.
No, I want to give him cash in hand.
No.
Yeah, I've been fooled by that wily trick before.
Yeah. What a liar, Rollo. You are a liar.
What's a liar am I? I provide a perfect home and a perfect barbecue for beautiful...
Rollo, we've got the Seven Seas of Rye coming up as the lead of the show.
And I'll talk to Velocet afterwards. You go to bed, you 75-year-old man. Happy 78, birthday.
78. Rollo.
78. It's getting older by the bit. Are you the Benjamin Button or something?
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Joel.
He's not 75.
Would have done it at the start of the show, but I wasn't here.
It's yesterday anyway. It was yesterday. Yeah. What a great song.
Happy birthday, you old cunt. he's been in Australia longer than he's been in New Zealand.
You're a liar.
40 years. No, I'm not a liar.
You're a liar.
Dave J.
No, it's 40 years today. No. 40 years today is the anniversary of me coming to Australia. Mm. 40 years today. And actually, I've been here. Actually, I came here in 83, but I only lasted 2 months. Maybe.
Before we kick you out. We kicked you out, did we?
Here we go. Anyway, Rollo, it's been a pleasure to do Rick and Rollo 47, and it's on the 20th, which is the day after my birthday.
While we got Velocet here, should we play a little bit of Roger Clemson?
No, we can't. I'll send
it to Velocet.
I'll play your going out song if you want while I'm here to make it easy. But
You go out and then we'll play some Roger.
Rollo. Hey.
Rollo can look it up on his phone and play it to himself.
I'll send it to you right now.
Oh, okay. I'll listen later.
No, Rollo's going to bed. Jolo's going to bed.
Don't tell me what time I'm going to bed. I'll go to bed when. What about John Law's Blast Dale while singing a song while Norman Gets Wild?
I sent that to you.
Okay? Shut the fuck up!
I sent that to you, Jolo, Rollo. I sent that to you. Yeah, it's me that sent that to you. And
I'm going to note, stay on for Roger Clemson.
All right.
Seriously, here we go. I'm going to send it to Bella right now.
Which one do you want, Seven Seas of Rye or Roger Clemson?
Seven Seas of Rye is the last song.
Here we go. There you go. Okay. There you go, Bella.
I'll have to tack them on later because I'm not staying to play songs.
Rollo, shut up.
You can have Queen or you can keep talking and I'll tack Queen on later.
I just sent you Roger Clemson. You should have it right there in front of you.
How long is this?
It's about a minute.
Okay.
Well, long time. Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm sure. What He's got the Roger Moore voice.
Passing of one of our own, Roger Clemson, who sat in the Seven News chair for decades and also hosted numerous hit shows, has passed away in Sydney. He was 93.
Thank you and good evening.
From the 60s to the 90s.
Good evening.
Roger Clemson was one of the most trusted faces in Sydney.
It's right here on Seven.
Roger was a highly respected, beautiful newsreader who had a great reach to the TV audience and they absolutely adored him. How's it looking, Roger? I learned a lot from him and I think his elegance shined through both on camera and off.
King's Cross. Sort of place your mother very probably warned you about.
It wasn't just the news, but also commercials.
Nerve pain or rheumatic twinges. Take Aspro.
Back in the 50s, Roger was famous on the radio.
And as the narrator, I had the pleasure of screaming out the title, which went something like, Tarzan, King of the Apes!
Now, what, just do the call again?
Regular award host and recipient.
A very sincere thank you for awarding me this honour for the fourth time.
Welcome to Australia's Most Wanted.
Roger Moore.
Beyond the news, hit shows.
This is your life. Yeah,
Roger was an utterly gracious man, driven entirely by his very deep faith, but also the consummate professional.
Married to Claire, who died last month, today would have marked their 70th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Roger Clemson.
We'd have got an ER.
Seven National News. Good night.
There you go,
Patrick
Roger
Burns,
Clemson.
Seven News.
Yeah, rest in peace, Roger Clemson. Like, I honestly forgotten. I've forgotten about old Roger. That's classic. Thank you, Velocet, for that.
Jolo.
Oh, we call him Jolo now, do we? That was brilliant. Robert Redford, we lost him. I don't know. I think Bello would remember Robert Redford.
Right, we've already done it. Anyway, I need to go, to be honest.
All right, let's all sign off then.
Yep, here we go. Thank you, Jolo. What a wonderful song.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll be right back.
Great show.
All right.
Be told.
Good night, everyone.